Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew's a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist.
I'll be Nero for the night.
I know Drew is hungry, and it was funny in classic Loveline tradition. Tara, don't call me Tara, the phone screener, just Drew asked for some nuts. I think we were out of them. She just held up one of those sort of almost clear keg-sized things of pretzels. Yeah. You know, you buy them at the Price Club or the Smart Final Iris. It's the, you know, it holds 300 pretzels.
Yeah.
She held the one up. I don't think there was half a pretzel in there. I mean, if we broke it all down and poured it into a pretzel mold, I think we could get a pretzel and a half out. But there was like, you know what ends up at the bottom of the pretzel jar?
That's what she was showing us.
It looks like somebody backed over a pretzel container and then dumped the scraps.
Who cares?
That's not going to do for you, Drew?
No, not tonight.
All right, there. I remember when pretzel remnants were good enough for you, Drew.
There was a time, I suppose.
Yeah, there was a time. And by the way, here's how you know you've really arrived. You stop finishing off food by holding the sack to your mouth and hitting the bottom of it. I used to finish everything in two ways. I would either lick whatever paper the burrito or the burger became wrapped in or scrape it off with my nail, or just turn the sack of Fritos over, and if there's nothing in there, if I give it a little whack on the bottom, I could get a little powder.
Sure.
Maybe some MSG and a little salt would fall into my mouth. But a psychological victory.
Yeah.
Now, I just eat the whole ones. And then the half ones. I don't go smaller than half. That means you've arrived. Alex?
Yeah.
You're 15.
Yeah.
What's up?
My girlfriend gave me a hand job, and about an hour after that, it's been going on until today, my left testicle has been hurting. Every time I take a leak, it burned.
Really?
Yeah.
Burning.
A hand job.
Irritated. Urethra.
Yeah, urethra. Was she extra vigorous?
A little, yeah.
She was too aggressive.
Did it take a little while?
No, normal. She just went pretty hard and fast.
Yeah, all right. Well,
you guys in a hurry? Had to make a movie?
Did you ask her to maybe slow down a little bit?
Nah, we were both kind of in the mood, you know?
Yeah, your mood was a total shock that somebody was giving you a hand job. You wouldn't want to destroy the moment by speaking up, right?
But it is a guy, first off, you feel no pain when you have an erection and you have a woman latched on your honker at 15. And number
two... That's the point. He's in shock.
But number two, as a guy, it's like, as a guy, when you're driving with someone, you don't want to say slow down.
Right.
You seem like a puss.
That's right.
You don't want to say slow down to anything. Ooh, Drew got himself some nuts and a couple sacks of Triscuits. And,
look
at this. Is great. This big score. I'll trade you all that for these almonds
right
here.
All right.
So maybe he irritated the urethra. So what should he do?
Well, and then what happens is sometimes that inflammation gets down into the epididymis and you get an epididymitis on top of that. So that is something that may need to be treated. You might just try some anti-inflammatory, some Advil or something over the counter, see if it takes care of it. But if it doesn't, it is important that you see a urologist. It's not like you're going to get an STD from a hand job.
No, I know that.
Yeah, but you can get symptoms like that and can get urethritis from the mechanical irritation, then can get what's called epididymitis.
What's the technique, Alex? Is it a full fist technique?
Yeah.
Nice. That means you got something to work with.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, Mr. Personality over there, by the way. Why is it all the guys who are void of a personality get the most hand jobs? In high school.
At the youngest age.
Yeah. Here, it's like you have a small vocabulary, you're sort of abrupt, you have no real personality, you're a little antisocial. God will repay you with a hand job, possibly oral sex. Well, what kind of justice is that? Okay. He'll be fine. Take an Advil. See how it feels in a couple days.
Yeah, and then see someone if it's not getting better.
All right. Jake?
Yeah.
You're 18. What's up?
I have an extra hole above my anus. It's about, I don't know, like 2 inches, I guess. And there's a bump to the left side of it.
Right.
That when I push on it hard enough, sometimes...
Something comes out of it. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, and blood as well.
Right. That's called
Sweet.
It's called a pilonidal cyst. Okay?
Okay.
And they can get become abscessed. They can be a real mess. And they need to be surgically removed. They don't get better by themselves, typically.
Good right. times.
I've had it for a long time.
Have you ever had somebody look at it?
Yeah, I had just an orthopedist look at it. But, I mean, he said it was topical and I could have it removed, but it wasn't a big problem.
He told you it was a pilonidal cyst, right?
He didn't say it. He just said it was topical.
True. Is there, you know, for auto body work, they have something called Bondo.
Yeah.
It's like a two-part, a catalyst, and a resin. What about filling it up with something?
I think I'm going to skip that.
Well, no, what they, interesting you could do is there are glues now, you know, glues for body parts as opposed to suturing. No, they can actually, one of the things some surgeons might do is put something down the cyst, tracked,
right.
slice it open, and then
glue it shut.
They wouldn't glue it shut though, because that tends to cause it to reform. They let it heal from the inside out, and it's going to stay there until you get it taken out. So
okay,
oh, that must be whatever comes out of there must have a funk all its own.
Oh yeah,
I mean, does it?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a smell to it. Not
a little bit.
Called putrid.
Yeah. Well, you know what I love about the body is it manufactures such a wide variety of smells.
Yeah.
You got your urine smell, you got your ass smell, you got your underarm smell.
And just that you
even got your like earwax smell, but you got that whole thing then from another planet, which is that under the sack, that sweaty ball smell.
You've been deprived of some of these things too, huh?
Some of the smells?
You don't smell.
I'm not a big smeller, but you want to get in touch with my sack after a long day.
Oh, really?
You're going to find something
there.
That's
where it all goes, huh?
Yeah, it does come out there, yeah. Thank you. Totally different than what's going on under the armpits, by the way. But would never mistake the two for the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 500 times worse, but yeah.
That's right. Hobo times hobo factor?
Six hobo power.
Oh, power. That's right. Drew and I haven't discussed this for a long time, but one of the things we stumbled onto earlier on in our careers is that there was no way of measuring stink.
Right. No stinkometer. Stink,
right.
Units of stink.
Right. And you know, they have a way to measure just about everything, but not really the stinkometer. And there's not even really a name for it.
No.
And so we were talking once, and I think a guy said this chick smelled like 100 hobos between her legs, and we decided we should come up with the hobo factor.
Hobo power.
Hobo power.
It was horsepower?
Hobo power, yeah. And hobo, you know, power 6, power to 10, power to
12
15.
Hobo power.
Yeah, what? I don't know what the highest would be.
300 hobo power. Whoa.
That's a high performance hobo.
Yeah.
Tara?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes, sir.
What's up? You depressed?
No. Sunday morning, like at about 1 a.m., maybe midnight, I don't know, I don't really remember, I was attacked and almost raped by this drunk guy that I was trying to help.
Hang on, this Sunday?
Yeah.
Just a couple days ago, all right.
Yeah.
Okay. That was yesterday, wasn't it, Sunday?
Today,
yeah,
Monday?
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, this happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Where were we trying to help him?
Well, we were on the beach with some friends, and he lost his friends. He couldn't find them, and he said he didn't know where he lived. So this girl and I were like, okay, well, we see some on the pier, so we'll walk you down there, and we'll see if that's them. And it ended up not being them, and he, like, drug us down to the water where he proceeded to, like, kiss us. And
he dragged you down to the water?
Yeah.
Both of you?
Yes.
How did he hang on to you?
Like, by her arm. She's really strong.
Huh. Okay.
Wow. Okay. So, dragged both you toward the water?
Mm-hmm.
And was there any lifeguards or anything?
Oh, no. It was, like, at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Pitch black.
Oh, I see. Oh, I didn't know it was that late. Okay. So, he dragged you down toward the water, and then what?
And then he, like, pulled us down into the water, and he was, like, trying to finger us and trying to kiss us and trying to get...
Simultaneously, too.
Yeah.
One of you couldn't have gotten away when he was trying to finger you?
Well, we were trying, but the waves were breaking pretty hard, and it was kind of hard to...
Were you intoxicated?
No.
Wow.
All right. I know this is traumatic, but I know Drew and I also have some problems with this story. Okay. I mean, but we'll get to those. And nothing's your fault, but how two girls, when he's trying to, like, finger you and stuff,
hold with one hand.
Can one person get running one direction or another?
Well, we were kind of smacking him away, and we didn't want, I didn't want to leave him with her because he could have like, accidentally drowned her or raped her or something.
All right.
All right, so somebody was standing watching the other. All right, that makes sense now.
All right, so then what?
So we finally drug him out of the water, and stupid dumbasses we didn't want him to drown for some reason. So we got him out of the water, and we got him walking again, and he stopped and he fell down, and he pulled my friend on top of him, and they were like rolling over, and I pushed him off, and my friend and her friend came, and he like intimidated him because he's a huge guy, and he walked away, and then we got in the car, and then we reported it to the police.
Okay.
That's good.
All right, that's good. And you're still not feeling right now, is that right?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, it's normal to have a post-traumatic stress reaction after something like that. That's pretty hairy. And thank God you made it through sort of unscathed and you learned something from it. But yeah, you're going to not sleep right and have a little anxiety and startle more easily and maybe get a little depressed for a couple of days. Sure.
Because my mom said it was my fault. It was something that I did.
Oh, that makes you feel much better, huh? And
when I came home, she didn't even ask me if I was okay. She just looked at me and said that I was a whore and that I should have got raped and that if I did, I would have deserved it.
Oh my, what's with your mom?
Well, she makes some points. I mean, let's not be hard.
How's your dad in all this?
He hasn't talked to me. He won't talk to me.
To me, the whole situation seems sort of, this isn't even victimization. It's sort of normal, naive, 17, 18-year-old stumbling around trying to figure something out.
I understand that,
yeah.
But let's get a little backstory. Did your mom say, don't go to the beach, or you shouldn't have been there at night, or what were you doing drinking at the beach at 1 a.m., or whatever
it was?
Was
she trying to make some other point, is what Adam's saying?
Well, she said that I shouldn't have gone to Clearwater Beach because she says that the only reason why you'd go there is to get laid, but that's not why we went.
Well, you and I went there together.
Yeah.
Clearwater Beach? Coincidentally?
Cornhole Drew. It was great. But we were there?
That place with the peanuts. Remember we ate peanuts and threw. Remember that place? It was by the water. How was that?
Oh, yeah. We were in Florida. Yeah, we're in Clearwater. Yeah. I tried to rape Drew. I wouldn't have any of it.
See, I fought him off while he tried to finger me.
All right. Tried. Smell me. Tara?
Yeah?
Okay. I'm sorry for what happened. And I'm sorry that your parents are sort of insensitive. And I'm sure there's a little more backstory here with maybe you defying them a little bit in general. Them not being real happy with your grades and your defiance and that kind of stuff?
It's not really that. It's, well, maybe, because they've kind of sheltered me my whole life. And
right.
Really
that's what I get. That's what I get, is that you really been so sheltered you don't have the judgment to know a problem when you see one and then get yourself out of one and then to kick the, you know, really, really defend yourself properly against an intruder.
Well, did a decent job.
You did a decent job, though, when the day was done. And your parents obviously are very anxious. They love you very much, and this is their own fear. Yeah, unfortunately,
I don't know about
harming,
very much with the horror.
Well, it's
comment.
Harming her, and it's really pathetic and sad. And I would certainly tell your parents how much that hurts, how painful and how destructive their feelings are.
Also, not to deny anything, any part of your story, but here goes. women, especially guys, do this too. But please tell me I'm right here, Drew. Because I had a pain-in-the-ass troubled sister myself, used to get in all kinds of trouble. They hear feelings. They take feelings and they translate them into words.
Oh, your sister does. Yeah.
My sister did this all growing up. A lot of our young female callers do this. Guys don't do it too much.
Not
like
so
you're
much.
Saying, geez, you were assaulted at the beach. Your mom called you a whore? No. I'll bet you what mom said is you shouldn't have been there.
I told you not to go there.
I told you not to go. She didn't say it's your fault.
Yeah.
She said, I warned you about going to those places at night with these guys
the
and the
that
kind
go
of
there
element.
Are whores.
Was probably the word whore was not brought up, but probably there was some, they made it made them partially responsible, and that's what they heard.
Yeah.
You whore, it's your fault.
Well, yeah, why don't you ask? Just out of curiosity.
All right.
Maybe she can be straight about that. Tara?
Mm-hmm.
Did she use the word whore?
Well, not exactly.
Okay,
all right.
Okay, there we
Thank
go.
You.
Thank you.
Liar, whore, you know it.
What must it be like for me to be right almost all the time? Think about that, Drew.
Well, what I hate is
she just got done saying her mom called her a whore.
Yeah.
And I just, based on nothing, said, no, she didn't call her whore.
Yeah.
And she said, not in those words. Anne could have very easily said, yes, she did.
Yeah, could have.
It's got to be tough. It's a burden.
Now we're gonna have 12 callers calling.
No, you
were harder than that girl. How dare you? You know all the time, huh? Oh, sure, Mr. Smart. You know,
Listen. I'm glad nothing bad happened to her. Yeah. I do know there's something going on with her and defying her parents, and I don't like her hanging around.
Well, here's the deal. She is steeped in shame. Her parents have shamed the hell out of her because they haven't given her a chance to individuate properly. And now this is the price of that. This is eating disorderville.
All right. She's 18. Go off to college.
Yes, absolutely.
Sheila?
Yeah.
You're 15?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I have a problem. I kind of have a couple of questions. One for you, because you talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And the other one for Dr. Drew.
All right.
I'll start with Dr. Drew, because he's quick and easy. Dr. Drew,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be playing football with boys.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of safety precautions should I know about or take care of
from the standpoint of
playing with guys?
Well, it's not fair for me. I'm not a trainer of female contact football.
Nothing. She just wanted to talk about playing with guys, so let's talk about that.
No, I want to know, if I should...
I know of no special other than obviously appropriate gear, and your trainer should be able to help you with that.
Well, here's the way I look at it. You have breasts.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of guys focus on that. Hey, we need to bring it. Hey, I got a set of breasts between my legs. You know what I'm saying?
You got more than that.
You got more than that. So you get to avoid that whole knee in the groin aspect of the game.
Yeah.
What position are you playing?
Linebacker.
Why?
Why? Because I want to.
You ever played before?
No, this is my first year I'll be on the JV team.
You've never played football before?
Well, what do you think she played?
I played other sports before.
Was there a Pop Warner for the girls can play in or anything?
Mm-mm. I mean, hold on.
They can't be excluded.
No. They could play. They just never do.
Yeah.
All right, so you're going out for the JV team.
15 being a female going to football the first time. That's heavy duty.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it'll be novelty.
I played both soccer and softball before. And I'm
contact
catcher,
football.
Hey,
listen,
softball.
Football is a whole different deal. Listen, Sheila, it is a different deal.
Well, don't talk around.
No,
it.
I don't want to talk around. I just prepare yourself. It is a different deal.
I understand that. The coaches are nice. My team players are
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. Listen, I don't discourage you. I just want you to prepare. This is going to be a different experience, and I want you to get hurt.
Yeah. That makes me think back to my high school playing days.
Hey, me too.
All Central Valley first team, North Hollywood High. Thank you very much, your linebacker. Thank you. So what's up? You want some pointers?
Yeah.
All right, let me tell you something. Listen. Mm-hmm. Your head needs to be on a swivel. You hear me?
Yeah, that's what my coach says.
That's right, on a swivel. And moving side to side, lateral speed. And are you playing inside or outside backer?
I'm shooting for outside.
Contain.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Okay, here's my tip. This is going to help you a lot, whether you're inside or outside backer.
Uh-huh.
You got to read wherever they're trying to block you.
And that's what my teacher said.
If you're playing inside linebacker and that guard is supposed to block you and the ball snapped and he's not coming out after you, it's a pass.
You go, yeah.
And if he pulls to the right, you better pull to your left or go to the right too, because that's a sweep and that's where the play is going.
Throw him down.
No matter what goes on out there, you can read it by... And one last thing.
Yes.
Especially if you're playing middle backer.
Oh, I hope not.
You got to step up. You can't wait for them to get
what,
to you.
What is that about the great linebackers? They don't just step up. They like a strike. They it can all of a sudden like a laser beam.
Took me a long time to figure that out. Which is, if they're coming right at you and you're staying your ground 5 yards, 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage,
they got 6 yards.
You're waiting for the guard to get to you. Yeah. You'll get the guard. You'll get the fullback. Yeah. And you'll get the halfback all about the same time. It'll all be 6 yards. If that guard fires out at you, you better fire up at him and clog that hole. And if you're playing outside backer, don't bite on that first fake before the quarterback kicks out and goes around you.
What do you mean by bite?
Uh-oh. The first contact.
Okay.
Quarterback will do that fake the dive right through the two hole. You'll turn in on it, and then he'll go around you. He'll pitch it out. You got contained.
Somebody will crack back on you.
All right. That you have wheels on you. What's your 40 time?
What's my I can run a mile.
Nope.
Well, I haven't gotten that timed yet.
All right. Well, that'll be good. You make the papers. Are you a lesbian?
No.
No?
That's my question.
Okay.
What's the question?
My question is, should I...
Should you date any of the guys?
I mean, guys talk.
You're lesbian.
Girl talk, of course.
True, play.
Are you playing ball to meet the guys?
What?
Are you? Do you want to meet the guys on the team? Is that part of the reason you play ball?
No, not.
That's fine. If that's
I'm not like one of those guys that go into home ec just to be with chicks.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Because
that's why a guy would play a girl sport. Woman
yeah.
sport.
Yeah. Sure.
My question is, would it be kind of weird if I date other guys while being on the football team?
No. That's like saying, would it be weird for them to date other girls?
Well,
you mean girls?
Damn.
Wait a minute. She means girls. She means guys on the football team, right?
Yeah, but I'm a girl on the football team dating another guy.
Right. Well, listen. Sheila?
Yeah?
I want you to try as hard as you can. I want you to give it your best effort. But listen, you'll be riding the pine.
So what?
Don't worry about that. The football thing is not going to be a big thing in your life.
What?
That's my prediction. I hope it works out. Give it every effort. It'll build some character and date whoever you want, football team or not.
Right.
She just wanted to talk about trying out for the football team. She didn't have a real question.
God bless her, though.
Hey, good.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm fine with that. The only part I'm not fine about, as far as society goes, is if she sucks, they should be able to cut her.
I have the same thing with that. If a guy had called in and I'd said, hey, man, you're going to have a tough time. You've gone from never playing football to now playing JV football. That's going to be tough. Because I said that to a girl, 5,000 people are offended.
Right.
It's like, hey, just anybody going from not playing football to playing, that's going to be tough.
Well, the thing that they don't...
At 15.
Don't warn impossible. You about is you got to do some hitting.
Yeah.
You got used to using your head early on.
Yeah.
All right. And how old are your boys?
8.
Now it's time to have them start learning to use their head. They start using that head like a battering ram. Start hitting guys. Spearing, crank
They already do, strangely enough.
Good.
Yeah.
Toughen up that skull of theirs. Yeah. It worked for me. Look at me. All right. We'll take a little break. When we come back, speak to Michelle. She's pushing her girlfriend away. He goes out and works. She cries. Uh-oh.
You want to do that? You want to do something different?
Nah. We'll do it real fast after this.
Hello? Is this Love Line?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right
Hello,
back.
Hello, everybody. Love Line. Got to love the Love Line. Phone number.
Got to
love the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
All right, we lost that call we were promoting.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, big whoop. John?
Hey there.
You're 16. What's going on?
First of all, you guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Well, a friend of mine just got some mushrooms.
Yeah.
And, well, I've never done any drugs before.
Why start with mushrooms?
I don't know. That's not a bad place to start. That's a drug. That's a classic. It's a vintage drug.
16.
That's your dad's drug.
16.
Well, yeah. Anyway, I was just wondering any side
effects.
We don't know. Not that I've seen, but we're expecting to see.
It doesn't seem to be a whole lot with the mushrooms, Sean. Here's a couple of things.
Not after just a couple of exposures.
But let me float this. You could get high on mushrooms and fall off a cliff
yes.
while you're camping.
Yes, you could. Or you could have a reaction. I mean, you could have like a psychotic reaction. You have
yeah.
PTSD from it.
You could spaz.
Yeah, pretty bad.
No.
I've never seen that. But whether you could damage the brain the way you can with other hallucinogens is sort of... Probable, but the jury's out still.
The jury is never coming in on this one. Because
nobody uses enough of it.
Yeah, everybody I know, well, I shouldn't say everybody I know, quite a few people I know have done their fair share in their youth, and none of them seems to be the worse for wear.
Oh, my God, you're talking about your friends?
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you? How dare you, Drew? No, listen. And Drew loves to pin everything to addiction and substance abuse and all that. But the friends of mine that are furthest behind and the most effed up didn't do any mushrooms at all, by the way. Not that there's any correlation between achieving success in life and doing mushrooms. But the more successful ones actually did do the mushrooms financially. I'll give you all the names off the air, Drew.
Okay.
You'll be delighted.
Think where they'd be if they hadn't done them.
You think my buddies like Ray and Zeb must have done mushrooms in order to not be where they're not
right.
today?
Right.
No, those were the two that wouldn't do any. Everyone else did them. Hey, John?
Yeah.
I know it's not this show. You know, I'll tell you, I have mixed feelings about telling a 16-year-old to go ahead and do drugs. But we're trying to keep it real on this show. And mushrooms are more benign than a lot of drugs. And
less benign.
Drugs in general are not a great thing to get into.
They're not good for you, yeah.
But this probably ain't going to kill you. But it's 16, I hadn't done mushrooms and wasn't thinking about it.
Is there any addiction related to it?
No. Doesn't seem to be.
Not really. How old's your friend you're going camping with?
16.
Uh-huh. Is he experienced mushroomer?
I think he's done it a couple times.
All right. So the other thing, too, is you could spin out a little. It's nice to have a steady hand nearby.
Yeah.
Yeah, just start with a little bit.
So,
okay. Just for the record, don't take any. What the hell?
Yeah.
It's not a bad one, though. I'll tell you, mushrooms, that's good times.
I did a daytime radio show today, and I was, talking. Some guy calls up and goes, "How dare you tell a young 24-year-old who found something in her breast that it's not breast cancer?" And started yelling at me. I thought, what are you talking about? It's so bizarre what people take issue with.
Well, I'll tell you the problem with the media and our job and everyone's job. Everyone's job is to cover their ass.
Right.
So everyone who calls this show, we say, that's bad, don't do it.
Well, we also see a doctor to everybody.
But what a lot of radio shows will do is they'll go, look, drugs are bad, don't do drugs. Well, on this radio show, we're a little more realistic. We understand there's a distinction between mushrooms, heroin, crank, weed, booze. There's a difference in all of those. Mm-hmm. And we're going to approach it that way. It's no different than any other thing in life. And if we start, the day we start saying to people, look, don't do this or don't do anything, then we lose our credibility because
this is also what we're
you know what you're going to get.
It's also what we were talking about last night, which is we are not going to tell anybody what to do or not do. It drives me crazy that they can't see what they're doing and where it comes from, and we're trying to help them see that.
Yeah.
But I'm certainly not going to tell anybody what they must or must not
well,
do.
Well, and I want to play the odds, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if one guy in the last million has died because he took mushrooms, then I'm going to tell you, hey, the odds aren't very great that anything bad's going to happen to you. Let's face it. Francis?
Hi.
Hey, what's happening?
Hello?
Hey.
Hi.
Go ahead.
I can't believe I finally got through. Okay. Here's my problem. My boyfriend, my first, real boyfriend, was basically busted for stealing one of my parents' company vehicles.
Nice.
Yeah. And I know what I should do, and I can't, I know I should step back and, have nothing to do with them and everything, but I just kind of stick around for that.
Well, hang on now. Wait. Okay. It's not like this guy was, George Washington, and then all of a sudden he stole something and therefore condemned.
No.
He's a bad guy.
He's always
been a troubled guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else is up with him?
He's raised by his grandmother. He has a really horrible dad who's just come into the picture now because nobody else wants his dad around. So he's thriving on that.
Well, describe the guy to us. Is he...
He's really intellectually smart, but he has a pretty high IQ, but he's kind of lost.
How old is he?
He's 19.
Is he aggressive? Is he getting fights?
No, he gets verbally abusive when he's drunk.
Does he do a lot? Okay, so he drinks a lot, does drugs?
He's tried stopping a couple times the drinking thing, but he doesn't do any drugs, just the alcohol really.
All right, so he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Right. You're cruising for potential disaster here, Francis.
Oh, and I know that. And the thing is, I know I should, you always talk about, I guess, some book about But I Love Him, and, that's exactly what my problem is.
Yeah, well, what's your question?
My question is, everybody tells me to leave him alone and, cut off all conversation with him, and I can't.
All right. So what's your question?
What am I supposed to do? Am I, I need some outside advice here of somebody that... Because I respect your guys' opinion that I can't get mad at.
Well, let's not be facetious and just tell her to cut off all contact with him. But your mom or dad is an alcoholic?
No, my dad's a workaholic. My mom raised us. My dad just made sure there was money on the table. And, my relationships to look at aren't too steady of them.
So there's got to be some addiction in there somewhere. Nobody's taking medicine, pharmaceutical.
Well, wait a minute.
There's no addiction except for the fact that my dad is always working.
Well, I don't want to dwell on this too long. Francis, here's the deal. You try and be very conscious of the fact that you should not be talking to this guy. It's not going to be done all at once.
No. That's not going to work.
She can do it.
No. Then she'll find another one.
Well, hold on. But, Drew, we talk about this all the time. I know we like to break everyone off into their own little separate categories and everything, but there is the phenomenon, and it's a very accepted one, of young girls, 18-year-olds, they're like the dangerous guy.
Yeah, absolutely, that's true.
They had some nebbish guys working his ass off. They get hooked up with the rebel kind of guy.
Yeah, that's true.
Now she wants to get away from this guy, and she's having difficulty, but she seems to be cognizant of it. And I don't think she's going to... I don't see her marrying alcoholics and being beaten and all that kind of stuff.
Now, all we have, of course, is our intuition. We're talking to these people. We've got a very, couple of minutes to speak with them. But my sense was that she was more connected to him than she should have been. It wasn't just about getting involved with the danger of being connected to an alpha male. She's really emotionally invested in this, more so than she should be. And she knows that, and she's lost in that. And to disconnect from that... That's what codependency is. And I think she needs to go to Al-Anon. I don't think it's going to happen without that.
All right.
You got a sponsor. You got to work some steps. And I believe that you'll find that your dad may have a little alcohol problem. You just don't see it because he's away all the time.
All right. We will. You know what I did today, Drew?
Can't wait. What?
I told my...
Napped and masturbated.
How dare you?
Except for
I've been working my ass off today.
Yeah.
I told my accountant, and this is my new thing, and I'd like to bring this one back. I suggest everyone listening does this, too.
Mm.
You don't have to tell your accountant, but you just start working it into your everyday verbiage. I got something, and it said, compensated for the amount of, and then there was, $4,000 or something. I said, I want him to start saying, to the tune of. I think it sounds cooler. And it's one of these things that's going to die.
On the score, to settle the score of four.
Yeah. Yeah. How'd you do playing poker? Oh, I won. I won big. To the tune of $900. To the tune of. Instead of saying to the amount of.
Yeah.
It's cooler. You guys who are listening, you got to keep that alive. You're a young generation. This is worn off. You probably, a lot of you people haven't even heard of this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear it brought up anymore, Drew.
Nope.
Everybody. To the tune of. And then you put the price in. And it's always good because it really, they find him. Oh, he won't be doing that again. Oh, fine? Yeah, that NBA player? He was fined to the tune of $35,000. To the tune of $35,000. Oh, big whoop. It's great. I'd like you guys to keep that going, please. There's certain things that are going to die off. Drew, to the tune of?
To the tune of.
Mike?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes.
What's up?
Not much.
All right.
Did you call us about something?
You masturbate frequently?
Every once in a while, yeah.
How often?
I don't know. A couple times a week, maybe.
I don't know. To the tune of 3 times a week.
All right.
All right. What's your question?
Well, for about the past year, I've had, every time I whack it, I've had, joint problems in my knees and stuff in my fingers and all my joints to get inflamed. I've had a couple of knee injuries from sports, but it's been from my knees stuff being inflamed from the thing, and that's happened. Every time I whack it, I know I'm positive that it's from this because every time I did get inflamed after I whack it or something.
Dude, you beat off?
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. Mike, you need to see it. Forget the whacking history. Just get up with a doctor, take a look at the inflammation of the legs, okay?
It's not related.
I never told him about that.
I don't think it's important.
Mike? You got some problems emotionally?
No.
You have, you're not taking, let's say, Ritalin to the tune of 750 milligrams a day or something like that?
No, it's a Gatterol. It's different.
Oh, that's the same thing.
No, it's different. It's like...
Yeah, I understand, but you have ADD. Yeah. You're supposed to go, how did you know that? As opposed to, no, you're wrong.
Right. Yeah, I magically guessed the sister of the medication that he was on.
Yeah, it could be related to the medication, although that would be kind of peculiar.
It's not the masturbation. That's obsessive thinking.
And there are actually urethral irritations that can trigger joint complaints.
But your knees are not becoming inflamed because you're beating off, unless you're doing it in a praying position on a hardwood floor. Or
if he's really irritating his urethra, sometimes there's a cross reaction there.
Urethritis. This is all his joints are becoming inflamed?
Urethritis and synovitis.
Yeah. Twice a week? To the tune of two whacks a week?
The tune of twice a week isn't quite right. But again, it needs to be sort of put together. Somebody needs to evaluate this carefully.
Yeah, but I think when you clear things up in the control tower, magically the airport will start running better.
The medication could be a problem, too.
Okay, we'll take a break.
Back in a minute.
Hey, everybody. It's a Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number to the tune of 1-800-LOVE-191. Right, Drew?
That's the number.
Lizette?
Hi.
Hey, you're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, for the past 6 months, I have had 4 boyfriends, and I have one right now. I've been sleeping with them, and I have had sex with them for, like, I don't know, a lot of times. And every time I have, like, sex with them, I give them blue balls every time we end up finishing.
What do you mean?
I give them blue balls.
What is that? What do you mean by that?
I don't let them come in time or something like that.
Oh, baby. I smell some teenage pregnancy right around the corner for you, baby.
What?
What are you using for protection?
Trojans.
What about, you know about the morning after pill?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know about emergency contraception?
No.
If something goes wrong with the condom or he doesn't put it on or it slips off, there's a pill you can take within 3 days and it prevents the pregnancy.
It does?
Yeah, so you make sure you get some what's called emergency contraception available, okay? EC.
The thing is that my parents don't know.
Yeah, well.
But they'll know if you get pregnant.
Yeah, you still get that emergency contraception. You can get it at Planned Parenthood, you can get it from any doctor.
Where can I get it?
Planned Parenthood.
Or any doctor.
Or any doctor.
Hey, Lizette, I'll talk to you about your prom, but you just promised me you don't have sex without birth control or protection.
Okay.
No matter what.
And you get that emergency contraception stuff so you don't get pregnant.
I will.
All right. Now, your boyfriend does not have an orgasm?
No.
How old is he?
The same age as I am, 16.
And you're fat.
Drew, please. He never does. All the other guys didn't?
Well, they have dumped me for the same reason.
They dump you because they can't have an orgasm when they're having sex with you?
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
What are you talking about? Listen, I wouldn't have dumped a cadaver that I fished out of a dumpster at UCLA when I was 16 if I could have had sex with it.
I beg your pardon. Are you telling us too much?
Oh, man, it was a little specific, wasn't it? Yeah. Shit, I got rid of her. Lizette?
Is it her?
How dare you? Well, what? The girls get loose when they die. Lizette, you're having intercourse with these guys?
Nah.
What are you doing then?
Well, they're doing it to me, but I'm not doing it to them.
Well, you said you were having sex with them.
What are you doing? What are they doing to you?
You know.
No, we don't know. We weren't there.
What?
Well, you opened up by saying you were having sex with them, so that means intercourse.
Yeah, I know, but other stuff.
Not intercourse.
No.
So why is he using a Trojan if he's not having intercourse?
No, wait, he is, but it's because I didn't hear you. I was listening to something else.
All right. Hey, Lizette? All right, hang on 1 second, all right?
Okay.
All right.
I can't, that was so convoluted we couldn't even do a reenactment on that.
What do you use for protection?
We're having sex. What do you use for protection, right?
Listen, I'm tired and angry. I've had an ass full of all you kids who got one eye on the TV and one ear on this radio show. If you're don't you know this is a national radio show. Don't waste our time with this. Huh? What? Huh? What? No, I wasn't listening. What? Oh, I'm sorry. I was paying attention to something else. They keep repeating the same thing over and over again. Lizette, stew in your own stupid juices for just some time until I feel like talking to you. Then we'll see, because right now I'm being distracted by some other calls. Okay? And whenever I feel like it, I will get back to Lizette. And Lizette, if you want to hang up now.
No, I'd rather you...
And if you don't want to hang up, hang on, but I may get back to you in 2 minutes, and I may get back to you in 1 hour and 5 minutes.
But we'll see. Compose your story.
No, or don't. I don't care. Jennifer?
Yeah?
You're 21. What's up?
What do I want? I can't get wet.
Huh.
And I'm 21. I've been having sex since I was very young, 14.
Huh.
And I love sex. I'm I'm a nympho. I have to have it, like, every day. Actually, sometimes can't do it because I want it so much. But
wow, that sounds
even,
wild.
I've been to the doctor, and, you know, he just says maybe I'm not giving it enough time during foreplay or... I don't know what to do. I use a lubricant called Wet right now. It's water-based and it's spermicide.
Yeah.
And it works great, but it kind of kills the moment, you know? Hang on, hon. Let me go pump some lube.
Well, let's talk about more what's going on with you sexually. You're every day having sex?
Well, yeah,
okay.
Pretty much.
Okay. And since you were 14?
Well, yeah.
Okay. And
I mean, even if I wasn't with a man, I mean, I would be pleasing myself because, I mean, ever since I was very young, I'm bring myself to orgasm very easily.
And so, even when you're having orgasm, there's no wetness.
I'm sorry?
Even when you're having orgasm, say, by yourself, no lubrication.
No. Only with a man afterwards, I'll get wet for a little while, but then it'll tighten up and dry up again. Ooh. And I've been with women before also.
Sure.
And I can't get wet with them either.
Me neither. Hey, Jennifer, do you have one boyfriend right now?
I'm engaged, yes.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir.
And you guys are monogamous?
Oh, very.
Okay.
And nothing with him either?
Well, in the beginning of the relationship, but not anything anymore.
Do you have any issues with sex? Has anything happened to you? Anything we should know about?
I'm sorry, what?
Anything happened to you? Anything we should know about in terms of issues with your sexuality?
No. When I was young, like 14, 15, and 16, I had a lot of bacteria infections that my doctor said were caused from dancing a lot. Because I'm a ballerina, so they said that wearing tights and things of that nature.
Yeah, I was told by my gynecologist not to wear my unitard anymore.
Well, you have
bacterial growth.
That.
Hey, I look so goddamn hot in that thing. I said I fired the guy. Well, screw you. I look good in a unitard, Mister. Hey, Jennifer, and leg warmers, by the way. Ever have an eating disorder?
No.
No. All right. And does your mom bust your chops?
About what?
Life, anything?
No.
Are you on birth control pill?
I was, but I recently went off them, and, well, that was actually another reason that I switched from orthocycline, orthotricycline, was to help my bacteria infections, and as soon as I switched the pill, it cleared up.
But have you been off birth control in many years?
Yeah, not for many years. For about 6 months now, and it still hasn't changed or affected me being able to get wet.
All right, let me pick her brain for a second.
All right.
Damn, ballerina, sexually compulsive. I got to get to the bottom of this.
All right.
Really? Now I'm not judging, but I'm trying to work my files here so I can help humanity. I'm
trying to follow some.
No alcohol? Pads. Any alcoholism in the family?
Yeah, my father's a recovering alcoholic. But, I mean, I don't see how that affects me getting wet.
But, oh, no. Yeah, listen, for women, your brain is hooked up to the spigot.
Yeah.
If there's stuff going on, look.
And yet she arouses pretty normally, and she seems gratified by sex. You know, what I mean?
But we've talked to many women about this. Anderson, you don't have a vagina anymore, do you? No.
Sewn up.
But we've talked to many people about this, which is if they're aroused... And if there's something going on emotionally, this can affect it.
Yeah, but usually the arousal is interrupted, and sure, arousal is not interrupted. It's just this one element in arousal.
But let me ask you this, Drew.
Yeah.
What if your brain is a little freaked out and turned off, but your sort of mind and body is saying push forward and almost overcompensating? I'm a very sexual person.
Yeah, I'm
very sexual.
Yeah.
It's like the guy who thinks he's a wuss, so he becomes very aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
She reiterated over and over what a sexual person she
and
was.
And yet she indeed is. She has orgasms really easily.
Right. But maybe somewhere in dark recesses of her mind, she's not as sexual as she thinks.
Seriously, saying she is someone who orgasms easily, but maybe is not as sexual as she thinks.
I don't think, I know she's not, or she would lubricate
well,
more.
Well,
and
maybe
she would,
something biological,
she wouldn't say it as much.
There may be some biological issue here.
Well, I'd say it could be a number of factors, but I think that might be one of them. Jennifer?
Yeah.
What do you think of Adam's theory?
I'm sorry? Well, I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay, good.
I mean, I think it's probably something biologically wrong with me. Because,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a pretty happy person, and I have a great life.
Yeah, and listen, the parents in recovery are good. You can live a very happy
life. When did your dad get into recovery?
I'm sorry?
When did your dad get into recovery?
Right around the time I started having sex, actually.
Where's my bourbon?
That you were like 14 or 15?
Yeah.
Was he an awful alcoholic when he was drinking?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I didn't live with him either.
Who'd you live with?
My mother.
Is she kind of a perfectionist?
Yeah.
No, not at all, actually.
What?
Uh-uh.
Who got you into ballet?
She did.
Why?
I don't know.
All right.
People do that without being intrusive.
Your mom doesn't drink?
Believe it or not, Adam, there is
such a... Anyway, back to the point. Well,
now, listen, we don't know why you're not lubricating from a physiological standpoint.
Let's finish up after the break.
No, we're done with her.
Well, I want to hear what...
What are you going to say?
I want to hear what other theories people have proposed. I mean, there's something wrong with the glandular activity down there. Usually, I wonder about her level of estrogenization. So,
all right, we'll be back.
Hello, this is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey, everybody, Loveline. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. So, Drew, just tell that last call that wasn't lubricating medically what she can do.
I just worry that she is not cycling normally, or perhaps has lower levels of estrogen or higher levels of progesterone than she should. So certainly somebody should evaluate her very carefully. Sometimes thyroid hormone can affect this. Sometimes,
what about these old infections she was getting?
I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Okay.
And it's not like she'd be deficient of glandular material down there. I've never heard of that, though God knows there's every variation on anything when it comes to the human body. But mostly I suspect it's the hormonal influence that part of her body's under.
Okay.
And you're suspecting that the brain is influencing that, and certainly it can. But, you know, arousal's good. She's okay. Dad's in recovery.
Arousal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little hyper-arousal, I'd say.
No, compensating self-concept in terms of her sexuality. But the arousal, she has orgasm really easily. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to arouse to do that.
Well, go to the gynecologist, tell her you want a full workup. Yes? All right. Michelle?
Hello.
Oh, Michael?
Michelle.
How are you?
Michelle?
Michelle.
What's your name?
My name is Michelle.
You live Francais.
Pansy.
All right, Adam, I have a question for you.
All right.
And then Dr. Drew is the one. Adam, I masturbate upside down in the bathroom with my toe in my dog's butt. Do you think anything's wrong with me? Okay, now there's one for Dr. Drew.
All right. Well, wait a minute. Don't I get the answer?
Whoa.
Wow.
Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Nocturnal emissions.
Yeah.
Is it true that those are just, it's just an overproduction of sperm that needs to be emitted?
Not an overproduction. It's just a normal production that God releases for you.
Yeah, you should be getting some of that out when you're inverted in the bathroom.
Whoa, whoa.
Y'all, too much fun.
Good audience.
Whoa.
So, Dr. Drew, so for everybody in an explanation of nocturnal emissions when you wake up with your pants full of pud.
Right.
For guys.
Or for those of us who go to bed sober, our underpants.
Yes.
Bill, I know you got a pair of 501s filled with something that still got your boots on when you wake up in the morning.
Oh, my God. Well, you've been to a few cigarette burns in the sheets.
I'd like to get a little window into Michelle's life. First off, where'd you get that name, Michelle?
Oh, man.
Michelle.
It was either Mike or Michelle at birth.
This is a boy named Sue.
Dang. Right. Dad wanted to toughen you up.
Yeah.
Knew he wasn't going to be around and look after you.
I'm just bubbly and giggly now.
What do you do for a living? What do you do for a living?
Call you.
No, Michelle, what do you do for a living?
No, Dr. Drew's getting good now.
What do you, what do, you do?
What do I do?
Disability?
No, that's it. Hang on. I can only go four rounds on the what do you do. And then when I hear the what do I do? And by the way, the what do I do came on the fourth attempt. Yeah. Let me tell you about the switch I have in my brain, everybody. It goes from I'm incredibly interested to I give a rat's ass in just a heartbeat. I'll try Michelle one more time. Now, got rid of him. Good times. Paul
16, is he sleeping?
He's been on hold for an hour.
I hear him. Paul?
Boring.
All right. Did you hear something there?
Well, Drew, here's what happens. Let me tell you the phenomenon. We're trying to hear if someone's sleeping or not. Anderson pots the guy way up. You react and go, oh, I heard something. What you heard was Anderson potting the guy up.
Maybe.
That sort of sound went from it sounds like this. It goes from like sort of nothing to like
yeah.
And you go, oh. I don't think there's anything there.
Right.
No. Let's talk to Melanie.
Hi.
Hey, you're 22. What's up?
My mom is paranoid schizophrenic caused by prolonged meth use.
Oof.
And my question is, I have no idea how to help her. I live in California, and she lives in Florida.
Well, now, what do you mean by prolonged meth use? She continues to use methamphetamine?
She used it from the time she was 20 on up to, I think she stopped when she was about 50.
So 30 years.
And
now she's chronically psychotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is what speed does. It's really not paranoid schizophrenia. That's a specific disease. She's got a thought disorder caused by the biological injury of the speed.
Okay, that's just what her neurologist...
this is probably putting it in terms we could all understand.
And the scary thing about the paranoia that's associated with speed, with the meth, is that the focus is always on important relationships. So they're paranoid that you or her neighbors or her coworkers are thinking about them and plotting against them, as opposed to cocaine, where the focus is always on uniformed officers. Cocaine addicts is always looking out the window, seeing police, SWAT teams.
She's probably doing
some cocaine too. But But the speed part is the focus on important people.
Okay.
Wow. How'd you make it out of there?
You know, I don't have an answer for that, but I'm doing well.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, I'm in college, my junior year of college. I'm in a great relationship, and...
With an alcoholic.
I've never done drugs or anything like that. I guess it's just because I watched her, you know, be that way, and I would never want that for myself.
Good.
So.
You know what they call that? They call that being smart.
Learning from experience.
No, it's just being smart.
Yeah.
Smart people study other people and go, yeah, that ain't for me. And then they see other people and they go, yeah, that's for me.
That's
and
what they do it. My sister did. Yeah, my sister followed in her footsteps and changed, but...
She's not so smart.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Drew don't like to do that, but I just break the world into dumb and stupid and then smart and genius. Thank you. So you're doing all right. You want to know what to do with her.
Yeah, because her neighbor called me today. Yeah, and I'm so far away that I can't go check up on her. And
what did the neighbor say?
I'm sorry?
What did the neighbor say?
She said that, you know, my mother was hearing voices and that she was screaming out and...
Chandra.
Is she off the speed?
She's definitely off the speed.
How do you know that?
She's so ill now that she can't even talk. I mean, she's had a heart attack, three strokes in a year.
I don't know how you do speed for more than a weekend.
Yeah, well.
I don't know how you do it for 30 years. Yeah. I mean, I really don't. It's really a drug that just, it's so hard on you.
Yeah. There you go.
And everyone around her, or around you. So how long has she been sober?
She's not sober. She just can't. She can't manage using. She's so impaired.
Yeah, that's right. She didn't make a conscious effort.
Yeah,
she just can't do anything. But listen, is she not taking her medicine? Is that what's happening now?
Yeah, that's what the neighbor said.
All right. Okay. Does she,
Really, you got to listen. I hate to say this, but you got to hire a drifter to kill her.
No, she may.
She's too big a burden on the family.
She may need a conservatorship, Melanie. You may need to go for that.
Yeah, my stepdad is supposed to be doing that.
No.
He's an alcoholic.
Yeah, nice.
He is. Give the drifter an extra $150. He'll take care of stepdad too. You'll get the house.
Go for the conservatorship. She probably has to be placed somewhere where she's in a structured living environment, and gets her medicines, and is sort of contained. That's it. She's so injured now. I mean, her brain's damaged badly now. Strokes, speed, it's not good.
Well, if she'd taken my drifter advice 10 years ago, then she'd be over it emotionally by now. You know what I'm saying? I'm just putting the word out in case any of my family's listening. Trying to go on some kind of speed bender over
there. What if they decide to turn your good advice on you?
Hey, I pay. Well, first off, they don't want to bite the hand that feeds them. I pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? I take care of business. Don't worry about me. Sarah?
Yes.
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
My question really pertains to my boyfriend. I've been going out with him for a couple of years, and he does occasional prescription drugs, Valium and Tramadol. And more and more recently, he's been getting into ketamine. And I'm kind of worried about him, not just because of the amount that he's using, but because he's a diabetic.
Well, you get a drifter to kill him. Hey, you want to go 30 years with this pain, or you want to just nip it in the bud?
Well, I'm not really concerned about whether or not we're going to be together for 30 years. I'm just concerned about him now, and I don't.
Well, he's a drug addict, and he's diabetic, and addicts don't pay attention to the consequences of their drug use. In fact, that defines the disease. Continued use, progressive use, despite consequence.
Yeah, and it's the thing. He's pre-med. You know, we're both in college.
Hey, listen, I treat tons of doctors who are addicts.
Yeah, he kind of just thinks, you know, I research it enough, I know what I'm doing.
That's BS. Look, he's an addict. And, you know, it's going to progress, and it's going to get worse, and when he's ready to do something, he will.
Wait, meanwhile, you can lay down some rules, like you're not going to be with him if
right.
he's going to do this.
Loss usually is the only thing that catches these people's attention.
Well, are there specific, like, side effects for diabetics? I mean, is it for a situation than normal?
Well, it depends if he's brittle. Is he well-controlled? Does he have any complications of his diabetes?
No complications. He's really well-controlled, actually.
Well, and he's using ketamine and what else?
Ketamine, Tramadol. He steals, like, Ambien and Valium from his mom.
Make a hell of a doctor one day.
He's going to be a mess. Well, no, these are all not specifically that I can see extra dangerous. Tramadol. What the hell is that?
I've heard of that one.
Tramadol.
It's a painkiller? What is that Tramadol?
Is that Ultram?
No, I'm pretty sure it's Tramadol. It's a European painkiller. I don't think it's legal in the state.
Interesting.
Oh.
Well, I mean, this is, you know, presumably opiates that he's using, and this is profound addiction. Benzodiazepines, profoundly addictive. He's not, you know, he's going to have consequence. And I suggest you go to Al-Anon or some sort of codependency recovery program, and that will give the highest likelihood of helping him, nothing else.
And don't throw out the drifter suggestion just yet. That's all I'm saying. Just keep that in your back pocket. Annabelle?
Hi.
Hey, you're 16. What's up?
Okay, I've been giving my boyfriend head, like, for the past month. Like, that's, like, when I started doing it for him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, every single time, almost, that I do it, like, afterwards, I like, go to the bathroom, like, I need the mouthwash and stuff, and I, like, throw up. Because I'm really disgusted.
Right. We got to get Drifter to kill him.
Now, let's be empathetic with this young lady. Wouldn't you throw up, too, Adam?
Oh, me?
Yeah. Think about it.
Would I?
Yeah.
Hypothetically? Sure. Yes, I would vomit if I got semen in my mouth.
Yeah, so, okay.
And, like, I thought I'd be used to it by now because I'm doing it, like, a lot.
How many times do you think you've done it? God bless you, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Keep going back to the well, it were.
Trooper.
I can't just be like, oh, no.
How many times?
In the past month.
Have you vomited?
Like, probably, like, 17.
Oh, my God. That's not good for you.
Well, this has become a nice method of weight loss for you.
Does he understand you're vomiting?
Whoa.
You had bulimia?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Is this part of that, do you think?
I don't know. But, like,
Hold on. Let me talk to Drew.
Yeah.
I was kidding, but I may have inadvertently stumbled onto something here,
bulimics will vomit more easily and sort of, it can kind of blur you know, what's bulimia, what's vomiting reaction to something physiologic. They'll start vomiting all kinds of things, and they kind of go with it a little bit.
Well, look at it this way. We talk to drug addicts all the time, people that are hooked on painkillers. So they're hooked. Yeah. And so their back says, hey, I got some pain.
Right.
Feed me.
Right.
Feed me.
Yeah. Right.
Feed me. And after a while, the line is so blurred, you don't know if you're actually having pain or
that's
your brain
right.
is just creating pain so it can be rewarded
that's right.
with some painkillers that it wants.
That's exactly right.
Now, you got an eating disorder. Now, that's here you are. And we're both sitting here going, geez, you vomited 17 times last month. Just
you keep doing
you know,
it?
Last month, you keep doing it? What? Initially we want to want to send her out a windbreaker and you know trooper of the year, but now it starts to unfurl a little bit, starts to take a little different shape. So maybe there is something here. Annabelle,
I'm just like disgusted by it every time.
Yes,
like,
we got that part. No,
right.
We got that part.
Any excuse
right.
to vomit. Wow, what incredible...
More, they, like, counseled the hell out of me, so I'd stop, and I, like, don't like that anymore. I'm always like, ew, that's so gross.
Sort of. Who counseled you?
Hmm?
What'd you say? Someone counseled you?
Well, like, they, like, you know, I had to go to, like, therapy, and, like, everyone found out, and I was like, oh, great, you know?
From semen vomiting?
No, from making yourself vomit, which she had
bulimia,
her eating disorder.
From bulimia, okay.
Yeah.
Now you have a reason to vomit.
And meanwhile, what a great vicious cycle to be caught in up as a boyfriend.
Yeah, really.
Your penis becomes her enabler. That's
wow.
crazy.
She'd be like, no, I won't.
Wow. How old is this guy?
17.
And are you guys having intercourse?
Never.
Just the oral sex?
Yeah, sure. And that's like the only thing we ever do. He never does anything.
Well, right, you gotta vomit.
Hmm?
You're the only... You know, it must be incredible for this guy, because this guy's like, geez, she blew chow like on Tuesday, and now it's Wednesday, and she's dying to go down on me. Well, all right, so be it.
I'm never exactly dying to, but he's always like, come on. And I'm just like, okay, fine. I'm not going to be like, no, I don't feel like it.
Why don't you be
Why
like,
not?
Hey,
you're vomiting.
But no, I puke every time we do this. I can't do that anymore.
Because then he'll be like, oh, you're so stupid, and he'll get mad at me about it.
This is that, you're such a whore. This is that same reaction
right.
that you hear is something different.
I think you've...
Since like February, and like I only started doing this like a month ago.
Hey, but look, if he gives a good goddamn about you, he'll like have some sympathy for what you're going through.
When did you finish your bulimia counseling?
Well, I'm still having to go to like the school. Well, I'm not at the school one anymore, but like,
all right.
I stopped in like January.
You're still in bulimia. It's just instead of sticking your finger down your throat, you're sticking a penis down your throat.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, that's heavy. That's heavy, man.
But. Like, wouldn't I still be doing it if I was that into it? Like, after the whole bulimia bout, that was like...
You're not done with the bulimia.
You're still bulimic.
You're using a guy's penis.
Even though I was, like, I stopped doing that, like, completely in, like, January?
No, you haven't stopped doing it. This is the point. You had 17
you
more relapses.
For a period, and now you're using this guy as an excuse.
Yeah.
But why would it only happen then?
First off, that's all you're doing, and you're doing a lot of it.
Yeah.
And the point is, if you just hated it, you probably wouldn't do it.
You'd just stop it. There'd be no second. Why do you think we were so confused as to why you kept doing it so much when you're vomiting each and every time? All right, hold on. But look, let's. You don't want him to get mad.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
You're listen.
He can be vicious about it.
Well, then.
Well, hold on.
Him.
Let's talk about that for a second. But when you guys go to movies.
Sometimes.
Do you only go to the movies he wants to see?
Sorta. Because he pays for it.
So every time, what was the last three movies you guys went to?
The Fast and the Furious.
Well, that's his, yeah.
Tomb Raider.
Oh, it's his too.
It's two.
And, Pearl Harbor.
Oh, all right. What's the matter with you? You can't speak up for yourself. That's the real problem here. What is with your self-esteem that is that poor?
And you have an older sister.
No, I have
not that much older. Huh?
I have a twin sister and an older sister.
Sweet. Yeah, what is up, baby?
What do you mean? Like,
well, you're scared. This guy, this 16-year-old guy is running you ragged. You got an eating disorder. What's going on?
Well, I don't have an eating disorder anymore.
Oh, yes.
Well, first of all, people, those don't remit. They're chronic conditions that sort of get better and come back, and yours is active right now.
Hey, Anna, why don't you know you're going to therapy for the old eating disorder that you don't have anymore except for you still vomit all the time?
Yes.
I think you need to bring up all this power stuff all this.
And that you can't assert yourself.
He's going to get mad at me if I don't blow him.
Right. You need some assertiveness.
Put that on a card, Anderson. That'll be good.
Yeah, some assertiveness skills.
No, good. Drew was talking.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't that one.
No, you were talking, so it's no good. Lisa?
Hello.
You're 18?
Mm-hmm.
No, what's up?
I was not.
Shut up.
He's got it. He's got it.
All right. He's got it means shut up. Lisa?
Yes.
I like you already. What's going on?
Hi. I've had a problem with, like, I don't know, guys, but I just got out of a 2-year relationship, and mm-hmm. he was really, really controlling. And I don't know. It's just like I met this other guy, and he treats me so well, I just, like, am not used to it. And so I don't know.
So what you do is you take the really nice guy and you start moving over in that direction to prove to the guy who's treating you badly that you will leave if he doesn't treat you better. Except the guy that's nice is too boring and you won't actually go with him. You go back to the guy that treats you like crap and he'll keep treating you like crap.
Yeah, well, he found out that I was seeing this other guy.
Oh, magical.
Magically. Yeah. Magically he found out.
And he was like, well, is he better than me and all this? And it was like, I didn't know what to say. And he was better, and I haven't stopped seeing him. That's not the problem. The guy I was with for 2 years isn't the problem. It's the fact that he treated me really bad, and now I'm with someone that treats me really good, and I can't get over that. And so,
can't get over what?
The way he treats me. It's like,
The good guy?
Yeah, I'm like, number one, I'm always before him.
Yeah.
And
what? Listen, I drove crappy cars, I lived in crappy apartments, and ate crappy food. Now I drive nice cars. I still eat crappy food. I live in a nice house. It's easy. Easy to get over. One was bad, the other's good.
Yeah, but when
done.
You cycle for 2 years, it's really hard.
No, Lisa.
No,
you
know, it's not.
No, you need the abuse is the problem.
You got some serious issues.
Yeah, and you're going to sabotage the good relationship because you can't stand the intimacy.
Why is it so hard to deal with a guy who puts you first? Does all those things...
My dad...
He what?
My dad beat me when I was...
Right.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you for not making us dig for that.
Thank you. And thank your dad for being... No.
No.
How about a little therapy then?
I've been through therapy.
Well, not through it. I think it's an ongoing thing, especially when your dad beat you.
And especially since you're unable to tolerate being in a real relationship. You can't tolerate it. You can't tolerate tenderness.
That's what I'm asking. What can I do to keep this other guy? I mean, because I'm always wanting to be with him. I'm always calling him, and it, like, gets on his nerves. And he said I was smothering him, and...
Which guy are you smothering?
The good guy.
You're smothering the good guy.
Because I'm always wanting to be with him, always.
Interesting. Now, both Drew and I have that puzzled look on our face. Smothering him. And he's a real good guy.
Yeah, I mean...
Real good guys, the kind of good guy that Drew and I are thinking about, aren't worried about being smothered.
Right, they don't say
they
that.
They like being smothered.
Right.
They're like a hot dog, just waiting for something to be dumped
right.
on.
Right. While the not-so-good guys start pushing you away.
How good a guy is this so-called good guy?
He is, because I have, a low self-esteem.
No kidding.
Thanks.
No, but that's what we're talking about here, Lisa. That's what needs to be changed.
And
by the way, if you were through therapy, there would not be such low self-esteem.
You'd have a medium low self-esteem,
medium,
like we have after years of therapy.
Low medium.
Okay,
but we're aware of it.
What about this good guy? How old is he?
He's 24.
Ooh,
24.
Well,
with the
23.
Yeah.
The guy that.
What's the 24-year-old guy do?
He works for American Airlines.
Yeah, I'm doing what?
He works on the computers. It's like
okay.
Bring up
all computers. Right. And can you control yourself then? You know what you're doing?
Yeah, I think it's infatuation, but I don't know how to get over it.
Well,
hold on a second.
You don't need to get over it if it's
she is the subtle Riddler.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's talking about one guy clearly, but the terms she uses and the words she chooses would imply that she's talking about the old guy.
Right, right.
You know, it's an infatuation. I don't know how to get over. It seems like she's going to call and say, here's what we're prepared for, Drew. And you and I are on the same page here. She's calling and saying, like, I was with this old guy. I was really abusive. I broke things off. I found a really great guy. And I don't know what to do with this whole... I keep thinking about him. I can't get away from him. I'm infatuated with him.
The new guy.
We keep thinking, though, she's talking about the old guy. That's
right.
What the energy feels
but
like.
But you know what's going to happen is it's going to be, I got to stop this. And then magically when she does, just drift back to the old guy. So this is really still about the old guy.
Well, yes. Stay with this new guy.
Go ahead and smother him.
Go ahead and smother him. Try to control yourself and get back into therapy.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Listen, fine. Or don't. Listen, I don't care. I go home at 12. That's it. And you guys who think I think about you.
Okay, Adam. Okay.
Oh, come you on. Folks who think I'm haunted by you when I get home, are you kidding? I turn that TV on and put my feet up. I don't even know what job I have anymore. I am like an animal that way. I turn on the TV, I think I'm actually in whatever show I'm watching. You understand that?
But let's talk about advice in general. If advice were really easy, you'd be doing it. If it's a path of least resistance, you'd already be doing it. Whatever advice we're going to give you, you're going to resist and not want to hear. Otherwise, you'd already be doing it.
Okay. Back to therapy. We'll be back.
Loveline. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's pop back on those phones. Let's attack those phones, Drew.
Right.
See if we can help some more people. Hmm?
You.
What do you say there, buddy?
Yeah.
Here we go now. Let's go now. Let's go. Becky?
Yes?
21. Let's go now.
All right.
All righty.
Hi. I just want to say that I totally love you guys. And I know everybody always says that, but I just want to say it.
Thanks. All right, Becky.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever. Okay, so I have this friend. I met him about 4 months ago, and since we've known each other, we've been totally inseparable. We see each other, like, every single day. If we don't see each other, we talk to each other on the phone. All of my friends say, why aren't you guys together? All of his friends say, why aren't you guys together? One night we were at a party, and we were totally drunk, so they strategically placed us on a futon together when everybody went to bed to see if anything would happen. And, yeah, stuff
like
did.
Mixing a couple of chemicals together.
Right.
Whatever.
And they put you together in the Petri dish, yes, and?
Yeah, pretty much. So
what happened?
We just kind of hooked up a little bit. We didn't, like, you know, go all the way or anything.
Sure.
But
right.
We just kind of, you know, messed around and stuff.
Right.
And then after it turns out he was so drunk that he didn't remember. He says he doesn't remember.
Right.
Yeah.
But I had to explain it to him the next day. I'm all, yeah, last night stuff happened. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm all, stuff happened between me and you. And he's like, oh. He's like, well, I'm not going to have that mess up, you know, mess us up because we hooked up at a party or whatever.
Yeah.
And so ever since then, we've still been, you know, cool and everything, hanging out every day. We tell each other, like, everything.
Becky, you are into this guy in a big way.
So much so, you don't even know.
Yeah, and you better tell him that.
Well, he knows.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he,
no,
I
he
told
doesn't.
Him.
You told him?
Told him, yeah, I love you, you're my best friend.
I told him, like, the first 2 weeks that we knew each other, we would drive around for like hours and hours and talk about everything. And finally, I just said, you know what? I'm not going to say his name because just in case he's listening, I was like, you know what? I like you and I've been pretty obvious about it. And he goes, well, I'd totally love to date you and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to complicate our friendship right now.
And that's it. The case closed.
Not into it.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, well,
he
managed to, no, guys, don't do that. He managed to keep it back into the friend category and you accepted that. And that's where he wants to keep it.
But that was like 3.5 months ago.
You're overweight. Right.
Drew,
and that is more evidence of how entrenched in Friendville you are.
Okay, but then listen. I stay the night at his house.
Yeah.
And we sleep in the same bed.
And he lets you blow him.
Okay, no. But that is not what happened.
Yes, you gave him a BJ. BJ.
Okay, listen. Saturday night, this last Saturday, I stayed the night, and stuff ended up happening, and we still haven't talked about it. And then the next night, we always go to the movies on Sunday nights, and the next night, he brought this other girl that's like my competition or whatever.
Your competition. All right, yeah. Well, you've proven your point once and for all.
Becky.
Are you pre-law?
No.
What are you studying for?
Communication.
Oh.
Hey, Your Honor, my client is, he's guilty. Let's eat.
No.
Okay, listen, you did give him some oral sex on Saturday, though.
Yes.
And then on Sunday brought your arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Like yeah, that's a loud message to you, Becky.
Oh, man.
Well, no, but see, my problem is I'm wondering if there's something that I'm doing. Like, am I putting out, like,
no.
friend vibes?
No, Becky.
Has this happened to me before?
No, Becky, no. Becky. We feel so bad for you.
He is not interested in you that way.
You can't make him go to that place.
He's never been interested in you that way.
But he says stuff all the time.
Nope.
I would rather
Becky.
Hang out with you.
Yeah, he says stuff because you bring stuff up.
No. We were in the car the other night.
Becky. Becky. Okay, he ain't interested, screw Becky. Screwball.
I'm not a screwball.
Yes, you're thick.
No, she's thick. Not thick. She's
totally
20.
Normal.
Yeah, I agree.
She's in love,
yes.
And she will not accept the truth.
Yes.
Which is this guy ain't.
Well, explain, Becky, listen to Adam for a second. How would a guy behave if he were into this?
He would have been on it. You know the 2 weeks? First off, you would have never got to the point where you had the discussion where you liked him. Because he would have been on you immediately.
Yeah. What does it mean with a guy?
And then,
he's never really had a girlfriend.
Hold on. Well, I've been wondering if he's gay. That's one of the things running through my mind. That's a possible explanation.
No, he's
a nice guy. He's he likes a BJ, and he likes Becky, but he's not attracted to Becky.
Right,
thinks Becky's a great person. He's not really, just not attracted to you.
Well, then why does stuff keep happening?
But because you come over and offer to blow him.
I did not offer.
Well, you make yourself available.
Yeah.
Becky, you know what the truth is.
Please.
Don't argue with us.
You're wasting your time.
If you thought for a second he really liked you, you'd be working on that. You wouldn't be trying to convince us so we can make you feel better about something that you know is the truth.
If the guy was really into her and he was sleeping in the same bed with her, think about that.
Look, here's the way it would have worked. Forget about meeting up the next night for a movie. But had sex all Saturday night.
That's right.
He would have made you a nice big fat omelet the next morning, and then you guys would have ridden around on bicycles with baskets on the front while the Fifth Dimension played in the background.
And what would the bubble be over his head?
He would have just love, Penny for Your Thoughts, all that stuff. He's not into her. Screw Becky. He's not into her. Sorry. Becky, stop wasting your time.
I know. I'm so sorry for her.
Here's the sad part. All you girls and all you guys, especially you girls, what am I doing wrong? I mean, he seems to... What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
I say to him, and he says he wants this kind of person, and I tell him I'm that kind of person, and we totally click, and he doesn't like this other... But he says he doesn't like this other kind, but yet he's always with him. What am I doing wrong? I think I'm scaring him away. You know what I'm doing? I'm coming on too strong. He's getting a mixed message from... No. If he's interested, he's in... Look, everybody. Guys... Let me explain, guys. Guys send away for wives to other countries. Forget about clicking. What are you doing wrong?
Right.
Guy open a magazine, see a chick, point at the chick, and happily be with her.
Yep.
Forget about what you're doing to steer him away, especially a 22, 23-year-old guy.
Whatever that it is has to be there.
And he ain't into it. Anna?
This is me.
22, what's up?
Well, I haven't had sex in almost 3 years.
And wow.
I don't masturbate.
Nice.
And I want so badly to just wake up and be married and have that all done with, but it just seems so hard to, like, meet guys and date, you know?
What is up?
I don't know. I've looked everywhere. I've done the whole bar thing. I've done the whole church thing. I've looked at work. Just doesn't seem to be anybody. I've even met guys at the grocery store.
Have you had a boyfriend?
No, I haven't for 3 years.
How come?
I don't know.
She's done the whole thing.
What happened with the last one?
Actually, I have 2 kids.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
And my daughter's dad is the last person that I was with.
Yeah. So these guys have been real S-holes, S-heads to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why it's not working out. You're scared to death that this is all going to happen again.
Is that what it is? I'm
going to
get pregnant?
Well, somebody's going to abandon you again, which is probably the kind of guy you're attracted to.
Same dad?
No.
Both kids? No.
No. My son's dad's married, and he still sees him, and we get along, and my dad's daughter's got his head so far up his ass he can't see the light of day.
So we don't talk to him.
Your daughter's dad, right?
But it's interesting.
We don't
twist on words there.
Two different guys, huh?
Yeah.
Is the second one sort of like your dad?
No, my dad, actually, I didn't really like my dad as I was growing up, but my parents were married. Everything was normal. Now that I realize that's who I want somebody that's exactly like my dad, because my dad was so loving to my mom.
Why didn't you like your dad?
I don't know.
He had his head kind of up his ass, too?
He was grumpy. Yeah, he was grumpy.
Damn, what a great guy. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, just because he didn't divorce your mom and didn't beat her didn't mean he was a great guy.
No, my dad... Oh, no. I think my mom controlled the relationship a little bit, but my dad would do anything for my mom.
Yeah, but not for you.
Probably not at this point.
Well, you just said he had his head up his ass.
I mean, growing up, screwball.
Yeah, he would do it. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. I don't know. For a guy who's loved your mom very much and would do anything for you, you don't sound very appreciative.
Yeah, he said he has his head up his ass.
No, my daughter's dad.
Ah, okay.
Man, you didn't sound like you're too nuts about your dad either, though.
I love him. He lives far away, though, now.
Okay, thanks. Hey, let me ask you a question. Let me talk to Drew for a second. Mm-hmm. Has there been some sort of experimental military program where they've taught animals to talk? that I'm not aware of.
As Joe Rogan said...
Is that what's going on out there?
When Joe Rogan 2 weeks ago was up here, he said something I thought was very astute. He goes, hey, we're just monkeys who talk. That's it. Monkeys who talk.
He should talk about monkeys who talk.
That's right. I thought that was pretty astute.
But listen, I mean, I'm picturing some sort of military experiment that went awry where the animals got over the fence and now they're calling the show in.
Yeah, I think that's... Yeah.
You like your dad? Yes. He lives far away. Yeah, but growing up, what kind of guy did he? Well, not now. Now, really about her dad, she's told me that he was a good guy, that he loved her mother very much, and he was a little bit grumpy, and she wasn't crazy about him. But then as soon as I questioned that, it immediately got into the present tense where he lived far away. I'm going to try this one more time, but oh my God, poor Anna over here. Anna.
I'm here.
Like, please, be
forthcoming.
Be more forthcoming. Your dad, growing up, he was a good dad to you?
He was. I just didn't realize it.
Okay.
Wait a minute. There's no such thing as that.
But judging by the guys you hooked up, he was a saint. The guys who fathered your kids.
Right.
But growing up, you weren't that fond of your dad, right?
No, I was rebellious, and I hated him then.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay, well, there's something very, very serious there. That's where all this energy is being funneled into your peers.
Yeah, when you get to the answer of why you hated your dad for no reason growing up, it's going to help you meet a guy in your current adult state.
There's not no reason for hatred, okay?
Okay.
Right. I mean, you can be rebellious, and a kid can be rebellious, but hating your dad for no reason is kind of weird, and I bet that has to do with why you can't meet a guy now, or at least the right guy.
And what about the masturbation? Why don't I do that?
I have no idea, Anna, but there's more issues than meets the ear with you.
Yeah.
I would assume, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's time, on behalf of your children... Because you don't want to pull a number on your kids. You don't want to screw them up like your parents did to you, right?
Yeah.
How about a little therapy, a little soul searching, reading a few books, keep paying attention? You know what I mean? I hate to say it. Watch Oprah a little bit.
Mm.
When that big bald Texan guy gets on there and starts talking about what's going wrong, listen to him. Listen to this show.
What if your dad...
Pick up some knowledge.
Dad may have done a little something.
Okay.
You think your dad... may have, molested you and you didn't know it?
No. Actually, I've never been molested.
But no. That was a strange way to answer that question, wasn't it?
Yeah, Anna, you have a weird, suspicious way of answering almost every question.
Yeah.
Did he hit you?
When I was older, like 14 and 15.
All right, that's pretty serious right there. And we wonder if he did something else, touch you, or was inappropriate with you in some way, maybe when you were younger, too, that sort of created that distrust and the powerlessness.
I didn't think it was sexual, but I guess when I was a kid, he spanked us with a belt, too.
All right. That's physical abuse, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So you get very minimum physical abuse. Very minimum. And by the way, that's the kind of guy that perpetrates physical abuse on young girls. Think about striking your kids with a belt for a second, Anna.
No. Not unless they were asking for it. And everyone's asking for it. That's the way I look at it. Even if they're not actually asking for it. We'll take a break. We'll be back.
Oh, yes! Loveline. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody.
Woo-wee!
Hoo-law.
Hoo-law.
Hick-a-brr. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Let's rock here, Drew. Chrissy.
Yes?
19.
Uh-huh.
You're virgin?
Yep.
It's difficult to stay that way in college.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've made it, like, 2 years now, going on 20 next month, and it just seems like it's getting harder and harder.
What's up with your phone?
Oh, it's a cell phone.
You have a land phone you can get on?
Well, she have to hang up to do that. What's she going to do?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind if she hung up. I'm looking for excuses. Okay, look, are you a religious person?
No, actually, that's not it at all. I don't know. I think it's just been the wrong guy, and now, like,
The goddamn phone line's driving me nuts. Look, you're virgin. You're fine. Stay with it. God bless. Godspeed. Good times. Good times. Good times. Frank?
Yeah.
You're 18?
How you doing?
Good.
Dr. Drew, you're cool. Adam,
thank you.
Too.
Thank you, buddy. What's up?
I just had a problem. Like, my girlfriend, we've been going out for, like, 9 months now, and, like, her whole family situation is, like, really bad. She's suffering from, like, depression and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the other day I noticed, like, all these cuts on her wrist.
Mm-mm.
And it's just, you know, it's getting worse and worse and worse.
She's a cutter.
And she's just telling me, like, you know, like, she doesn't even feel anymore. She's just, like, numb.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What's the question? She's got very, very serious problems.
Yeah, very, like, what do I do is, like, I talk to her and, like...
Make sure the people that that take care of her see her regularly.
Yeah, but that's the problem. Like, her family, like, her parents have, like, totally cut her off from, like kind of, like, everybody outside. Like, they won't let me see her. They won't let her friends see her.
Yes.
Like, it's, her mom's, like Filipino, and she's, like, kind of, like, immigrant. And so she's, like, she's nuts. I mean, she's just, like, nuts.
Is she getting no help?
She's getting none. I mean, like...
Okay. Can you tell the counselor at school?
We did. And, like, she doesn't want to go because, like, well, we did, and she was going. And, like, what happened was they couldn't do anything for her. Like, the family counseling, it wasn't helping. Like, she didn't get anywhere.
Can you have a talk with her mom?
Me? Me?
No, I'm going to go over there and talk to her.
Yeah, no, I mean, like... no way, no.
No.
Her mom's like, it's just, I mean, her dad's like the biggest puss, and like, they're not going to do anything for her. And I mean, all this stuff is like, it's like a cry for help, you know?
Hey, look, it sounds like you two ought to break up and you just worry about her health.
Yeah, I'm totally like, I'm just concerned for her. Like, I really care for her and I love her.
It's tough because you can't infiltrate that family circle, I mean, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, she's underage. She's 17. Maybe I ought to call Child Protective Services. She's you know, essentially suicidal, and they're seeking no help for her.
She has no caretakers? Is that what he said?
He's saying, Frank?
Yeah, she has, like mom and dad, everything like that, right?
But no psychiatric care.
Yeah, nothing.
Well, then you got to alert the local authorities. If you see her cutting herself, you got to tell someone. That's it. Somebody's got to intervene on her behalf.
I would really go talk to the school counselors one more time, explain the situation.
Yes, if you can get the school people involved, yeah, sure.
Let them, you know.
Handle it.
Right.
Yeah, that's not your job.
Scott?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 33. What's up?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up?
I just have trouble with my girlfriend. She likes to beat me up.
Yeah?
Hang on one second. I'm going to the other room, okay?
All right.
Oh, Scott. Take your lithium.
I like to kick Scott's ass. Talking for 12 seconds. I want to go over there and smack him one. Scott, what's up with your girlfriend?
We have trouble. We get into arguments, and she likes. They said she takes it out. She likes to beat me up.
Well, right, why don't you break up with her?
Right.
Well, that's the guy, the operator that told me the same thing.
Right.
So, I love her.
He's a genius.
But I love her.
I do.
What's her nationality?
She's Italian.
Yeah, they're feisty.
Yeah, they are.
They're hot.
That's right. We have the bomb sex together, too.
They got fire in their blood.
They have good sex. That's right.
Scott, I bet, you know what, though? I bet when things start escalating, you're playing along, too.
Oh, sure.
You got to defuse the situation. Do you understand?
You know, I hear you. I understand. I'll go in another room, lock myself, get away from her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's after things are going already.
Yeah.
But don't let them get escalating.
A lot of people, though, they're so used to being in aggressive family systems that they just
I understand.
Express themselves that
Scott,
way.
Scott, if you really would like this to go away, here's what you have to do. The next time this happens, you say, look, that's it. You put her on hold.
Yeah.
You tell her if this ever happens again, that's it. Yeah. You got to be prepared to walk.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can clear any. Look, anytime somebody's doing some behavior that's reprehensible or that doesn't work for you, you have to first be prepared to go.
Yep. I agree with you.
Pansy!
You know what it's like? It's like when you go in and ask for a raise or you tell your boss or whoever, look, this is what I need. Yeah. This is the position I need. This is the title I need. Before you walk into that office, make sure you got in your head, you're ready to walk. If this person, line up your ducks emotionally, financially, whatever it is, be ready to walk if this person does not comply. We'll be back. Well, there you go. Another fantabulous episode of Loveline, safely in the earth. I want to thank everyone who made this show possible. I'll name them by name on Thursday when I have more time and more energy. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. Got to love the Loveline.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.